Tonight with Jim Richards on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
And welcome indeed. We'll ask our expert, chief legal analyst here at the iHeart Talk Radio Network in about a half an hour what his thoughts are on the difference between maximum security and medium security and if people should be concerned. We're talking about the fact that Bernardo was transferred. We'll get to that in a couple of seconds time in the rundown, but we will address that and many other issues on that front with Boris Potensky in a half an hour. It's the iHeart Talk Radio Network. I'm Jim Richards. And Monday means we're joined by the co-host of the morning show on AM 800 in Windsor. Mike Kaycoke joins us right now. Mike, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome, Jim. Always a pleasure.
And also, Laura Babcock joins us, Power Group Communications and host of The O Show. How are you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
You're welcome, Laura. I wanted to ask you guys if you are curious, offended, any number of different words, and the fact that David Johnston, who is the rapporteur looking into election interference, if the fact that he hired crisis communications firm Navigator is troubling. He points out that they were hired at the beginning of the appointment, but I don't know. Maybe this is par for the course. I guess, Laura, you might know this better because you do this kind of stuff to hire somebody out of the gate. But my whole thing with Johnston right now is that I always thought it was brutal that Pierre Pauly Everett would kind of go out of his way to throw the guy under the bus, given that he had done something similar for Harper, given that he was Harper's governor general. It was just a really douchey way to win on this front. And I would stand with Johnston up until when Johnston faces what he sees is clearly the House of Commons, all the opposition voted against him, asked him to step aside, asked him to allow somebody else to do the hearings, and he goes, no, I'm here because the government wanted. Clearly, when you have become the problem, you need to know when to move along, and that hasn't sunk in for him. But let's get back to crisis communications and Laura Babcock. Is it a bad thing that he had hired Navigator out of the get-go?
Oh, this whole thing is starting to feel like water torture. I'm not even kidding. This slow drip, 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 drip of these dumb mistakes and this ongoing hubris. And I mean, if you're going to hire a crisis comm firm at the cost of Navigator, they're one of the top ones, out of the gate on something before you've presumably gotten yourself into any kind of a problem or public perception, maybe you should think twice about the job you're accepting. Those of us who are in this business have been calling it from the beginning, saying, you know what? Bad idea, Trudeau. The only vehicle that the public trusts is a public inquiry, for better or worse, for however long or expensive it is. That's the thing Canadians believe in. That's what they think is objective. That's what they want to see on this thing. And any attempt to stall it, middle manage it with this rapporteur gig, throwing one of your buddies, in front of the bus on this political nightmare where, you know, Poliev's never going to stop. Why should he stop?
Yeah.
He's got a perfect drum to bang all the way along, and it keeps getting worse and worse and worse. So if you know, going out on this thing, that you're going to have to get Navigator or any other top crisis comms firm engaged, probably on a retainer or something, just to navigate it, maybe you shouldn't be doing it. Maybe you should go to your friend and say, really, buddy, just if you've done nothing wrong, jump to what everyone's going to inevitably demand you do and spare us all this drip, drip, drip.
I mean, Trudeau to me has always baffled me, because even going back to SNC-Lavalin, he's like, no, I got this, thinking that he could spend away all the political capital and love of the second wave of Trudeau mania. That has long gone away. And what is amazing to me here is that, Mike, you hire a rapporteur to make this thing go away, to give it the stamp of authenticity, and yet it hasn't gone away. It's got worse. And they still can't decide to do the right thing. But your thoughts on Navigator being hired out of the get-go?
Well, I would think Navigator loves all these scandals. They represented Hockey Canada. They represented the Ottawa police chief, Peter Slowly, after the whole thing in Ottawa, the protests and stuff like that. So they're winning. I don't know if any of us are, or David Johnston or Trudeau are winning. You know, this was, I'm with Laura, this was a bad idea. Remember that SNL skit, Bad Idea Jeans? This was a bad idea right from the beginning of this thing, just because his connections to the Trudeau Foundation, to the Trudeau family, like, everybody has respect for this guy, but the optics of it look horrible, and it's getting worse and worse. And we were promised that we would, you know, a Trudeau government promised to provide documents to a Commons committee, but now we don't. No, they don't exist. To a media response. Okay, so what's going on? So everything from the beginning of this thing, from picking David Johnston to the way they've handled it, has been horrible.
I don't know if they need
a public relations firm to help them.
But here's the issue, though. As a PR firm, I mean, I'm not sure how happy Navigator is about how this is unfolding, but I mean, they're getting paid, and Trudeau should foot the bill for his buddy. But honestly, the way that this is rolling out doesn't look good, right? They're not making up any ground. It's getting worse for Johnston, worse for the Trudeau government. And the pattern I see between the SNC-Lavalin affair and the Jody Wilson-Raybould issue and this issue is this hubris from the Trudeau government that somehow, to Jim's point, they think because Sunny Ways and the name recognition and this love affair with the Trudeau brand that we are all going to be satiated by him saying, no, I didn't do it. Even with blackface or whatever, he doesn't apologize the first time. He sees what he can get away with. You know what? You're not that great. Just because Pierre Poilievre is providing a rather putrid alternative, and you're still ahead in one big national poll, doesn't mean that people are buying this. Just stop it. Respect Canadians and do the inquiry.
And when's enough enough? Like I said last week, I don't know what show I was on, wherever. Anyway, I said, you know, it's time for Trudeau to go. I mean, there needs to be leadership at the head of the Liberal Party. With all these scandals going on, they keep piling up and they keep handling them horribly. And I'm bitter over the whole battery plant drama here in Windsor. It's time to go.
All right. I think we'll probably need more time than time allotted, but let's go on this anyway. Paul Klandra is a conservative MPP and said this about Paul Bernardo being moved to medium security.
I think Mr. Bernardo should rot in hell, and until that day comes, he should rot in a jail cell. It should be in a maximum security prison, and he should be alone until the day that he goes and meets his maker, which is straight to hell.
A lot of people feel that way. Here's Chris Lewis earlier today on the iHeart Talk Radio Network. I like him too on that front. Here's Chris Lewis earlier today on explaining the difference between medium security and maximum security.
In the maximum security world, I mean, you're surrounded by the worst of the worst. He's been locked in the cell, I think, 23 hours a day and only out for an hour a day. That'll all change in a medium. They just don't have the capacity to do that there. It's just more relaxed. We're not talking Club Med here by any stretch of the imagination, but it's a more relaxed environment and not necessarily in keeping with what we would expect as human beings for this animal. You know, he's just shouldn't be anywhere but locked in a cell. Actually, he's a good argument for the death penalty, even though I'm not necessarily a proponent of it.
I'm not either, but with people like this, I could easily be convinced. My overarching concern is that he never, ever, ever gets out. Not to say that I like how this... I think I'm more concerned about how it was done. Just about a minute here before we have to take a break, Mike.
Yeah, and, you know, tying the two stories together, I thought it was interesting what Trudeau had to say, that he had concerns about the transparency of the decision. Well, it's ironic coming from him when we're not getting any information on the election interference.
Well, that's the problem. When Trudeau is not being transparent on his own stuff, he no longer has any moral authority on important things like this. You know what? Bernardo is the worst of the worst. He should stay with his kind in maximum security. Get him back in there.
Okay, let's address it more in detail coming up, including a clip from the lawyer for the families. What's really interesting to me is like, oh, he's got privacy. Well, at a certain point, some somebody's going to find out and they're going to tell the victims, why wouldn't the government say, yeah, the decent thing to do is that we are going to let the victims' families know before they have a reporter call them and say, hey, what do you think of this? I mean, the privacy be darned, if you ask me. We'll get to that next on the iHeartTalk Radio Network.
The Stay in Your Car, In the Driveway radio show. Jim Richards on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Our system does have all sorts of checks and balances built into it. Unintended consequences are people like Paul Bernardo, who we have to hear about every so often when he's allowed to appeal his sentence. And of course, he's not allowed to get out. But I wonder, and it's a conversation we'll have with Boris Potensky in about 15 minutes' time, whether or not this easing up on him will ever mean that maybe, I don't know, he'll be able to get out one day. So I want to, again, with our panelists tonight, Mike K. Cook, who's a morning show host of AM 800 in Windsor, and Laura Babcock, Power Group Communications in the O Show. Listen in here to Timothy Danson. She was on a couple of times on the iHeartTalk Radio Network, this time on with Vashi, talking about the section of privacy law that the government says is protecting Bernardo's movement of being able to notify victims.
The Section 8.2 of the Privacy Act, which the government is relying upon, also says that there has to be a weighing of the public interest versus the interest of the particular offender. I'd like to know what kind of analysis that they're doing to prevent any information being released to the public, so we understand that is such that it trumps the public interest. And quite frankly, if the decision that they've made is a correct decision, then they shouldn't have any problems telling the public. So how else does the public evaluate whether or not public institutions are functioning properly? You cannot dispense with justice in secret. It's got to be transparent. It's got to be public, and the public has the right to know.
The term maximum security, medium security, the security part would allow people to believe that has some sort of measuring stick on how likely you are to break out of there. Or is it just me who thinks that? But my bigger problem, Laura, is that, okay, he's allowed his privacy, as many people are in this country. Even he qualifies for that, is what we're being told. But why can't you tell the victims? Why do they have to find out from a reporter or secondhand? I mean, that's the disgusting part here.
Yeah, no, he doesn't qualify for it because they didn't balance the public interest. It's a perversion of justice with, like, the biggest pervert in Canada. I mean, we all know what he did. My sister lived in Scarborough during the Scarborough rapist years, where, you know, we had to pay for her to get a cab home every day from the subway to be safe. I lived in St. Catharines during his reign of terror in St. Catharines. We all remember the giant hunt for that car. We remember the trial of the century and his lack of remorse and his enjoyment of all of it. And no, this is a perversion of justice. They did not weigh the public interest. These two families.
Can I interrupt you for a second? When I hear that term, I'm just not sure what it means, the public interest.
Well, that's the point, is that we just heard in the clip, they're to weigh his privacy against the public interest. Like, in other words, the public has been traumatized by this offender, by Homolka's sentencing, by all of it. This has been an ongoing saga in Canada. It erodes the public trust in the judicial system to move this guy from maximum to medium. None of us can, I forget about the breakout part. I don't want him to have that kind of joy and relaxation. He doesn't deserve it. So as Canadians, it is against the public interest to secretly move this guy to medium security and not even let the families know first. It's gross.
Yeah, it is gross. Mike?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, that should be part of the process of this, is to notify the families. And you know, Jim, you said, like, you know, if there were reasons out there, that they think are legitimate, why he should move to a medium security, then they got to offer it. And they got to offer it to the family. They got to offer it to the public as well, because this was such a public case. And maybe there is more information coming of why they did this. The law is the law. And maybe there's something in the law where they said, okay, this checks all the balances. We got to move him to medium security. Or maybe there's a health issue with him where he has to move to medium security. So I think we got to wait for more information. I mean, I personally would have liked this guy dead in lethal injection myself, especially if I was one of the family members. And, you know, I guess we'll wait for more information if we ever do get it.
Agreed. Not on the more information part, on the dead part. Okay, in 10 minutes time, we'll double down with some of those questions with Boris Butensky, News Talk Tonight's chief legal analyst. Okay, Lori Goldstein in a piece, and I heard his conversation earlier today on the Toronto station with talk show host Jerry Agar about the fact that, as Lori puts it, the amount of emissions coming out of Canada are a rounding error. When it comes to emissions, I think we're at something like 1.5 as compared to China, which is at around 28, 29 in terms of global emissions. So my whole thing is like, are we, and I'm willing to be, I'm not even saying this, I think when we talk about this, like as a country, right now we're punishing poor people by raising prices on energy. They actually cannot afford this. For many people right now, it is going to eat into your budget, but you probably can absorb it. But for a lot of people, it's going to be the difference between able to driving a car or, you know, driving the car with your family for a holiday with the prices that gas is going to be at. But I'm not sure if we can stand up here and say, hey, so Canada doesn't have to do anything. I mean, North America has sent all of our manufacturing over to China. And now we're like, well, get China to do something about it. But all of our manufacturing is over there. Is this, again, Lori Goldstein, we're paying money for nothing to fight climate change. Does he have a point?
Mike? No.
No. Okay.
Laura, you go first.
No, he doesn't have a point. I hate this argument. It's so ridiculous. First of all, if you're really that concerned about poor people and the energy cost, do a means-tested kind of rebate system for them and charge the oil companies and the corporate interests more taxes. There, problem solved in terms of that equality of the distribution of the punishment for these climate mitigation strategies. Also, Canada is right now having its biggest forest fire season ever by far. We have scorched more of Canada in the last couple of weeks than ever. And if you think that you're going to, also in Lori's article about, well, you know, it's not going to affect the weather. This isn't about weather. Climate change isn't about weather. It's about extreme events more frequently. Flooding, which costs a fortune. Fires, which cost a fortune. We have to do our share. We offload, as you said, the manufacturing, so we can say, oh, but we're not doing that. Yeah, but we're getting China to do it for us. We had our industrial revolution. We did plenty of pollution. We have the polluting oil sands. We've got to do our part in Canada. I don't care if it's a rounding error. It's the right thing to do. And our climate is suffering, and so are our people.
All right. Yeah, you don't No, there's no thing, Mike. I know there. You thought there was a thing, but there is no thing because we're out of time. Mike K. Cook, though, you could you could use your time to respond to that, or you can give us your final take, and everybody can listen to Mike tomorrow in the Windsor, Essex area in the morning show on AM 800.
Okay. I'm going to start with the pride flag, the security that they're going to put the federal government, $1.5 million into some of the pride parades that are coming up. When is society gone backwards? How did this even happen that we're hearing about needs for security at pride? Pride flag stolen at four Windsor Essex public schools, vandalized, stolen. People keeping their kids out of school on June 1st, the first day of Pride Month. This is such an embarrassment. It's so embarrassing that how backwards we've gone in the last few years. And this is just the latest example.
I agree with that. By the way, if there's only one flagpole, do you take up the Canadian flag to put up the pride flag? I saw that at once.
I have an awesome pride Canadian flag in my front porch.
Okay.
You know, like these things don't have to be binaries. And I'll second what Mike just said. And I'll just point out that following the U.S. culture war garbage on this pride flag,
you've got 1 minute for your final take.
Yeah, go. Well, that's what I'm segueing to, is that Pierre Poilievre and this filibuster on the budget thing, I feel like I'm watching U.S. politics. It feels like it's all gimmicky and garbagey. If you don't want to support Trudeau's budget, just vote it down like we've always done. We're seeing more and more American culture war politics and grandstanding and silliness. And I don't think it's representative of what our country is and should be.
Also, damn. Like, folks, inflation is a global thing. And if Justin Trudeau was that powerful to make inflation worse in America and in the EU, maybe we should keep him as leader, because that guy is really, really powerful. Or maybe he's not. And Pierre Poilievre is trying to tell you something that's not true. Guys, thank you very much. The Rundown with Mike K. Cook and Laura Babcock, our chief legal analyst, is next.